I'm joined by Vanessa Marchant, who is from the Epsom Wells Community Association. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Emily. Thanks for speaking to me today.
Now, tell our listeners who may not have heard about the Wells Centre exactly what it's used for and why it's of such importance.
Well, the Wells Centre has actually been around in its first iteration, I guess, since the 1940s, so about 80 years. There has been a community centre on that piece of land at the end of Spa Drive in Epsom. It's quite a unique location, and the community centre thrived for all of those 80 years. In about the sort of late 1990s, Epsom Council built a fantastic new facility there, very in keeping with the local housing, and considering that it's surrounded by other properties because of being at the end of a cul-de-sac, it was very complementary to everything that was built there already. And the purpose for that was so that the council could run their over 55s provision from the centre, as well as it being a community centre. And then over the subsequent few years, membership dwindled, and in our opinion, it dwindled because of lack of advertising and because of segregation between the council provision and what became really a private hire business for the local community, for hiring through the council, I mean by that. When in 2015, the council took the decision to close the centre, it would seem that they based their decision purely on the over 55s provision and the fact that that was dwindling. And as far as we can tell, absolutely no research happened into the wider use of the centre, which was bringing in £40,000 a year revenue for the council with zero advertising. And there was certainly no consultation with the public at this point. No one was asked. No studies were looked into as to whether the centre could be made a going concern. The centre itself ran so many different courses, and all of these were instigated by private hirers. So the council were missing out on all of those ticket prices. So the private hirers would hire the centre, and then obviously take all the overheads, all the revenue from the ticket sales for the events. And when the centre shut, it was quite clear that the local community were just flabbergasted. I don't think anybody really knew what had happened. One minute it was there, the next minute the doors closed. And what ensued was just disbelief, anger, and hurt, really.
And what did you do to try and raise awareness of this? Because you said there was no research done, but pre-COVID, when you could go and not worry about social distancing and stuff and go and ask for people's opinions, what did you take upon yourself to do?
Well, obviously, that was 5 years ago when all this happened, and we were hoping for consultations with the public, and that didn't happen. The council couldn't sell the land, which was their original intention. And so gradually, over the course of this time, it became apparent that we as a community would need to do exactly what you said and do that research. Before COVID hit, and it was sort of maybe the 2 or 3 months running up to when COVID hit, we started door knocking. The planning application had been put on hold, and we just thought, right, this is our moment to make sure that we know what we're talking about and to check that there is a need for this centre and there is a want for the centre. We knocked on hundreds of doors, and our statistics show that 9 out of 10 households would have used a centre, would use it again if it reopened. Many people didn't know it was there because of the lack of advertising. Many people had moved to the area after the centre had closed. Many people felt the centre was only for the over 55s. They had no involvement in any of that. They have young families. And so that told us that the need was there, the want was there. There were so many people who've become isolated once the centre had closed, which is heartbreaking, actually, some of the stories that came through. And that instigated us starting the Save the Wells campaign on social media, which got such a huge uptake. So many people sent us in anecdotes and stories of how they had used the centre, how they'd used the centre previous to the rebuild, and how much they were missing it while it was closed. And we just thought, we have to do something about this. And so there was lots of letter writing, lots of campaigning, lots of petitions, lots of marches, even on the town hall. And then obviously COVID hit. And we thought, my goodness, what can we do now? So what we've been doing is looking at studies that are being done elsewhere, looking at the changing landscape, and almost everything that we have found strengthens our argument. It's just so obvious that the working landscape has now changed. So many people will want flexible working. So many businesses are closing their big central London offices, and people won't be commuting like they were before. There's a whole movement called the 15-minute neighbourhood, which is talking about the fact that now that people will be working a percentage of their week from home, anything that's within 15 minutes of their door will have a huge uptake. And that's where things like community centres will really come into their own in the post-COVID era.
Now, the council says that Epsom needs more housing. Are you against more housing or just against the demolishing of the centre?
No, absolutely not. We don't. We're not supporting the idea that we are anti-housing. That's absolutely not what we're about. Even Epsom Civic Society have said that losing a facility like the current centre for 23 units, small units, not really affordable housing either, is just ridiculous. I don't think any planning officer would require a community centre to be demolished for a small amount of housing, or any amount of housing come to that. I think that that's slightly, I don't think anybody would get behind that.
And would the campaigners support a new centre being built elsewhere, do you think?
Well, there was in the plans, the original plans, which have been deferred now, there was provision of a tiny hall space. And some members of the community fed into that in a very casual way. It wasn't a consultation. It was a series of very casual conversations. And it was clear that what was being offered was just not adequate for the kind of uptake that we know people want in the area. It was a single room, no parking spaces. It just wasn't functional as a community centre. I think for us in Epsom and Ewell, I think that areas like the Wells, like Stamford Green, they're slightly isolated. There's a long walk to get to other places in Epsom. Certainly for the Wells, the bus system is not very good at all. And the current centre has such a unique placing. It's within a stone's throw of the Epsom Well. It's in the centre of Epsom Common. The footfall from things like walkers, cyclists, ramblers, families, it's an ideal location for a community centre. And I can't really think of a better place for one, honestly.
If you could talk to the council or developers, what would you say to them?
I would just say that the decision to close the centre was taken in a very, very different time. It was taken only looking at one set of statistics, and they really, really didn't look at the volume of users as opposed to the volume of members. It was a very, very different statistic between those two things. I think that the centre as a business has so much opportunity going forward, so much so that we actually have a local business person who is willing to cover our first year's running costs. The world is changing. The world has changed. It will never go back to how it was before. People have discovered over this time what community means. You know, people going and getting prescriptions for each other, people shopping for each other, people knocking on the door and just checking that one another are okay. It's the time when something like a community centre could really come into its own. We've started a survey. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to do the interview today on our website. And the early findings from that is just overwhelming at how engaged people are with their local community space, how much a community space will mean to people in terms of mental health, in terms of a breakout space, in terms of not wanting to be stuck at home, and in terms of now being able to do things in their local community that they wouldn't have had time to do before due to commuting. 70% of the population of Epsom were commuting in some form or other, and that is going to be massively reduced post-COVID. So those people will now be looking for exactly the kind of opportunities and activities that we would hope to offer at a radically changed centre. We're not looking to go back to what was there before. We're looking for this to be something that is self-sustaining financially. We're looking for it to be vibrant and for it to be inclusive of all generations. People don't like to be siloed. The people I've spoken to from door to door, they don't want to be segregated into age groups. People want to be around life and one another and see what's going on. And we would envisage that this would be a space where there would be a cafe, to maximise footfall from all the activities that I described previously, but also business opportunities, public-private partnerships, an opportunity for people to maybe have vaccinations at the centre, for instance, very topical right now, but also things like mother and baby clinics, things like blood pressure clinics. The potential is just huge. And I would say to the developers that there is much more community benefit to be had from keeping the centre, allowing us to run it, allowing us to prove that we can make it a going concern rather than just, you know, sticking their heads in the sand and just not listening.
My last question is, how can people support your campaign?
Well, there's a few ways. We've just launched a new website, which is, mental blank, epsomwellscommunityassociation.org. On there, you will find our social media links. You will find a link to the survey that I've been talking about. It would be great if people could take that. You'll also find an email link to our newsletter so that we can keep in contact. And also there's an ability on there to just contact us and tell us your stories of the centre so that we can feed all of those things back to the council if we get the opportunity to have a chat with them.
Now, how can people help support what you're up to at the moment to save the Well Centre?
We're actively seeking grants and funding to strengthen our position. We'll be applying to the Your Fund Surrey initiative to investigate the purchase of the centre potentially and the refurbishment. But we're also looking at other types of funding and would welcome hearing from anyone who can help us with that, either financially or with making those applications to grants. And if people wanted to contact us about that, there are news stories and links on our website. Or you can email us at contactyuka@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you, really.